Look tonight again in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 12 again. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." I want to talk tonight about the character of God in saving us. The character of God in saving us. You will notice in verse 13 and verse 14, there are two words. There's one, mercy, God's mercy, and the second one is God's grace. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes, but I want to start by talking about how God's character understood Paul's ignorance. Listen to what he said. He said in verse 13, "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Now, I'm not sure what all Paul means by that, because in one sense, everybody outside of Christ is ignorant of the truth of Christ. Ephesians 4 says that they're darkened in their mind, so they are ignorant. And Paul is not justifying his behavior, but simply letting us know that what he did before he was saved was done out of ignorance. He didn't know any better. I think also he is talking about that there's in Scripture a difference between those who have full knowledge of what God has revealed and they reject it. I think to some degree the Pharisees did that. They saw the person of Christ and his miracles and who he claimed to be, and they fully stood there and said, "We reject you. We simply reject the truth." I think there are some that are what the Bible calls apostate. Maybe they appear to believe for a while, but they simply reject God. In one sense, everyone who will stand before God and be judged eternally has rejected God clearly. I do not think as I study the Scripture that all of a sudden there are going to be those that stood before God and they're going, "Oh, my goodness, if I'd have just known, then I'd have been okay, and now I wish I'd have known." Yes, that doesn't mean we don't bring the gospel, but to some sense, I don't think there's anybody that's going to be spent to eternity forever and ever because, "Oh, I just missed it." No, I think there's a clear understanding that they have rejected God. Even today, there are people in our society who, you'll hear them, they'll laugh. "Oh, we heard Jesus died for our sins. Ha, ha, ha." And they just blaspheme and reject that. But whatever it was, Paul said that all that I did before I was saved, I did it in ignorance, in my unbelief. And I think that ought to help us when we look out at people. There's just probably a lot of people who don't know better. They just are living in ignorance, and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to shine down upon them and change them. Listen to what Jesus said on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Peter said in Acts 3:17, "And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance." Jesus could hang on the cross knowing that in whatever way that people were acting in ignorance, they didn't know. If you ever talk to anybody outside of Christ and you ask them, they really don't know. They think you get to heaven by something you do. They don't realize there's another way. And so whatever Paul is saying here, Paul is simply saying that he acted in ignorance. And I think that ought to give us compassion for people. Pray for people. Don't assume everybody knows everything. Don't assume just because somebody's lived in the South or the life and just because they're a member of a Baptist church somewhere, don't assume they know everything. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in the dark, and they need to have someone tell them about Christ. So whatever Paul meant there, I think he's just simply saying, I acted in ignorance. That's why God reached down. Now, I want to focus on God's character, his mercy and his grace. And this is amazing to me. Notice what he said. He said, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I obtained mercy. The Greek language is a fascinating language. And I'm not an expert in it, but I have resources that will help me. And the tenses of the verbs are just amazing. This is in the aorist tense, which means it's a once and for all action. And it's in the passive tense, meaning it was acted upon. And what Paul is really saying was, I was mercified. I received mercy. God reached down in his grace and brought me mercy. In other words, no matter how deep Paul's wretchedness was, God's mercy could reach down and go down even deeper. And he said, I was mercified. I received mercy. God's amazing mercy reaches down and saved us all. And you know, I was studying and I had never seen this before. This is the definition of mercy. Mercy differs from grace in that grace removes guilt, while mercy takes away the misery caused by sin. And I got to think about that a little bit. Mercy. Think about someone who is sick in the hospital. Maybe think about someone who's in a terrible physical condition, and someone out of great mercy and compassion reaches out. They're not just reaching out there to touch them. They're reaching out to help them and soothe the pain and soothe the hurt and make things better. A person who has great compassion and great mercy reaches out to help lift up. And so think about sin and God's mercy. Now let me be very careful in how I say this. Not all suffering is a result of sin. Job teaches that and the Bible teaches that. And so we can't broadcast, this is the reason you got this disease. No. Suffering comes to all of us because we live in a fallen world. But we have to be clear on some things. Sin does create a lot of problems. It creates a lot of conflict. I think of the verse in Romans 3, and it says, the path of peace they have not known, and it says, destruction and misery are in their ways. You know, there are a lot of people in America who are miserable, and they want to blame God, but a lot of it is their own sin. I mean, I am shocked what people do today. And you and I sometimes might have people problems. You know, and we may say, well, it's their fault. Well, I'm not so sure entirely. It's just the sovereignty of God creating people problems. Sometimes it can be our own sinfulness in what we do and how we react to people and how we treat people. In other words, sin brings much misery. And what Paul is saying, I obtain mercy not just to be merciful, but God reached down in mercy and said, Paul, I want to not only save you, but I want to lift you up out of the misery of this sinfulness. I want to put your feet on a higher plane. I want to change your life. I will tell you this. It doesn't mean there will not be suffering. Do not misunderstand and go out and say that, oh, it's because of our sin. There's much suffering apart from our own sinfulness because we live in a fallen world. But I will guarantee you, you give me 10 people who live immoral lives all their life, and you give me 10 people who live holy lives, and I will guarantee you this crowd has more blessings and more happiness than this crowd. Sin brings misery and heartache and troubles. I mean, it just brings it. And I just want to pull my hair out sometimes at the way people are living today. It just, do you not realize you're created? And then everybody says, well, you know, I guess it must be God. No, it ain't God. It's what you've been doing and how you've been living. Now, be careful. Don't make that to everyone. Because all of us face suffering and we're not to jump on and say, aha, it's because your sin. But sin does bring some misery. And I just like to think of God's mercy reaching down and say, oh man, that poor Tim Phillips. If I don't save him early, if I don't save him young, he's going to make a mess of everything. So I'm just going to have to reach down in my great mercy and pull him out of that pit and lift him up so that I can help bring him from the miseries of the sin that he may live. You ask anybody who's lived in sin and immorality, and they tell you it's miserable. It's very miserable. So the first thing of God's character is his mercy reaches down to bring us out of the misery. I mean, I like to think of that sin brings such suffering and such pain, and God reaches down in mercy not only to remove the guilt by grace, but to reach down and say, man, I want to help you out of this. You know, people don't realize the Old Testament teaches that the sins of the fathers passed down to the second, third generation. Say, oh my goodness, that's terrible. Not really. Because it only says to the second, third generation. God is gracious to call a halt to it. But he says that those who keep covenant will pass on for thousands. And I firmly believe that my life is the product of my grandfather and his father and back. And the lives they lived has been passed down to me and hope to pass it on down. And so I say to anybody, I don't care where you are and what your life was, start right here and now and pass something different down to those around you. And so because sin brings much heartache, but hallelujah, God in his mercy removes it. Then I want you to notice the second thing, grace. The second character of God is grace. And he says in verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Let me read it to you from another translation that takes and puts in parentheses more of what it feels the Greek is saying. And the grace, unmerited favor and blessing of our Lord actually flowed out super abundantly and beyond measure for me, accompanied by faith and love that are to be realized in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul says, you got to catch this. God's mercy reached down and said, poor fella, I've got to lift him out of this sinfulness and lift him out of the misery of it. And now his grace, and he says, and the grace of the Lord Jesus reached down. But it wasn't just grace. It was a superabundance of grace. It's interesting, the Greek word, and this is how Paul did that. He did this a lot. The Greek word for abundant is a compound word made of the normal word for abundant, but he always adds something to it to make it superabundant. This was a favorite thing that Paul did. And so Paul was not just saying, I received grace. He was saying, I received a superabundance of grace. Now, you know, I don't know about you. Just receiving grace is good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Someone says, let's put it on an earthly level. Somebody says, I'm going to give you $1 million. Well, I'll take it. I'll take it. And then they think, no, I'm just going to give you a superabundance of millions of dollars. I'm going to give you $100 million. Well, I'll take that. You see, Paul says the grace of God was more than abundant. I received not only God's grace and unmerited favor that reached down to me who did not deserve it, but then I received an abundant amount of it. On top of it. That's why oftentimes I pray, Lord, give me your grace and your mercy. Because God's mercy reaches down to lift up, and God's grace is not just something that reaches down, but it is an abundant supply of it. Paul says, man, I received some and then a whole bunch of it. He magnifies it in his language, a whole bunch of it, an abundant amount of grace. And you ought to think about that as you go through the day. Lord, give me grace, but thank you for the super, super abundance of grace that comes down to me and reaches me. You see, God's not interested in just giving a little bit. He wants to give a pile of it. What do you think heaven's going to be? Just a little bit? Man, heaven is like, okay, the Lord can finally say, now, I have done away with sin. Now I'm going to show you how great and mighty and how much love and abundance I can show you. And I think the reason we have to have a glorified body because we couldn't take it if we didn't. Because that's how great God. You see, the only reason God can't get it all to us now is because living in this sinful world. But boy, when he gets us to heaven, he's just going to say, man, you will not believe how much I'm going to pour out upon you. Ephesians says he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace throughout all eternity. And so Paul says, God's character reached down in mercy, but then in grace, and then a whole bunch of it. A whole bunch of it. He reached down. And then he says the phrase, with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. And what he means is this, is the superabundant grace of God that reached down to him brought into his life faith and love. And that is often found together in the scripture. You know, we are saved by faith. And God's grace reaches down and we're enabled to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're enabled to continue to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we're enabled to continue to the end of our lives to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's no such thing as faith and then you lose it and then you have to get it back again. And then there's no such thing as that. I mean, God's superabundant grace reaches down in with faith that he gives us. It is a gift of God's grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God works in our lives and brings faith. You know, today, you know how I know I'm saved? Because today I trust in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm experiencing the change that it brings. God's grace reached down and enabled me to have faith and to believe and to cling to that cross. And secondly, he says, it brings love. A true Christian is marked by continuing faith and continuing love. 1 John, that we did a while back, talks about those who know the Lord are evidenced by love. You know, why would God reach down and give us a superabundance of grace, and then he wants to give us something that we act ugly all the time? I mean, what kind of salvation is that? I don't want that kind of salvation. I mean, this Paul says, and this grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. He brings the faith to believe, to continue to believe, and to end up believing. And then he brings the love which characterizes our life. They will know you're Christians because you have love. You see, Paul keeps coming back to this salvation, that God does a wonderful work, but it affects a change. And it's sad to hear bitterness and hard feelings and all that goes on, quote, among Christians. This abundant grace that God reached down and gave us is to produce a love. Now, that doesn't mean that our flesh won't act up, but I guarantee you God will deal with it. God will deal with it. Now, think about this for a moment. How great is salvation? It came from the character of God, mercy. God is so merciful to reach down and say, oh, I don't want Tim to suffer in his sinfulness. He may allow suffering to purify, and he allows suffering in this life, and I don't know why all occurs, but believe me, he reaches down to want to deliver out of the misery of sin. And you know what he eventually wants to do? His mercy finally just says, that's enough. I'll take him out of it all. You know, when my mother went into surgery, I didn't pray for the Lord to take her. I just simply prayed, Lord, if it is your will for her to stay, then you bring her through. But if for some reason she's had enough, then you take her on. And she did well. And so I just assumed, okay, Lord, it isn't time. But you know, there will come a time when God will say, it's too much. I'm going to have to just bring her all out of the misery of it all. And there's coming a time when God will do that with us. And I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back and saying, that's it. I've had enough of it. You know, sin has created too much trouble and too much problems. I'm going to end it right here and now. And when you got saved, you not only got grace, you got a superabundant amount of grace. You see, God loves you more than you realize. Did you know that? God loves you more than you will ever realize. Because if you're saved, his grace reached down and picked you up, and his grace was a superabundant of grace. And he loves you and I. So let me tell you something that every once in a while it runs through my mind, particularly when trials come. You know, it kind of runs through the brain. This is the devil. This is not God. And it'll run the thought, you know, a sentence will run through the brain. boy, God doesn't care about you. And I'm learning more and more to say, stop. I will not accept that. Because I know God Almighty cares about me, and He has given me a super abundant of grace, and I refuse that. I know God is for me. It's more difficult when we face trials. But you have to continue to realize that God has an amazing character that reached down to save us. And it's wonderful. You know, when a Christian doesn't rejoice in being saved, it's either because you don't understand what being saved is, or you don't understand how great and mighty God is to actually save us. And I'm looking forward to that day when we'll see Him face to face and we'll really know how great He is and how loving He is and how great and graceful and how merciful and that kind and how wonderful. So if anybody tells me, well, you know, you just don't know what God's doing, I don't listen to any of that stuff. I don't know about the God you serve, but the God I served is a great and mighty and wonderful God. And the only reason He allows suffering is if He were to stop it, He'd have to end this world and that'd be it. That'd be the end of it. Man, we got a great salvation. And when you go tomorrow, you ought to just say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your grace. But that wasn't enough. You had to give a whole pile of it. I wish I could say that better, you know, than a whole pile. Just a whole bunch of it. You know, a whole bunch of grace. And that's what God's salvation does.